Good morning, y'all. We're back on the Real Animals Radio Show, brought to you by Bartow Ford on News Radio 970 WFLA. It's Captain Dylan Hubbard in studio this morning. We've got our good buddy, Captain Steve Pappin from Fantastic Fishing Charters, the winning most Kingfish Tournament captain in the region. I like that title. It's got a ring to it.
I mean,
am I putting a curse on you for this year?
I'm not worried about that. You don't need to toot the horn.
You won King of the Beach this year. You won Wild West this year. Meet Mayhem, right?
No, we did the Wild West, the Angler Armory Wild West Championship. We went over the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, we took the Yellowfin, and that boat's way too big to trailer. So we drove. This my first trip down there, and if anybody's thinking about doing it, you should definitely do it because it's a lot of fun. Drive down to Boca, in Boca, all the way back through, and all the way through the lakes and the
locks. Oh, you took the boat through the locks?
We went through Lake Okeechobee.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, what a cool trip.
It is.
I mean, it was so much fun. I've never done it, and I was a little freaked out, you know. And, you know, I'm sitting there researching for 2 weeks, you know, for this trip, and I get in there, and I'm like, man, this is easy. And, you know, it's just... But it was a blast.
It's a lot of fun.
And then we ran up through St. Lucie and out the other side and ran up. Yeah, we had a 51. We blanked on the first day, really. I mean, we caught small fish. And then day two, we just kind of picked a different direction, you know, and just picked a different spot. You know, we don't fish over there, so.
Yeah.
It's like coming over here for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked a spot off of Navionics, a little bathymetric deal, and ran out to it, and it was on fire. I mean, we had a 51. We lost a bigger fish in the morning.
Oh wow!
That was had to be bigger than that one, and then we had some high 30s, and you know, called another partner boat in from here. He was about 7 miles away. Called him in, and he caught a 40-something pounder in there too. So
nice.
Yeah, you got to share the love.
Very cool. Well, we've got Jim Fogle on the line with our safe boating tip of the week. How you doing this morning, Jim?
Hey, great. Great, guys. Y'all are sounding real good, too. Good stuff out there this morning.
Hey, fake it till you make it, Jim. That's my motto.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, all those new electronics that you got for Christmas that are sitting there either in the box or on a boat that you haven't learned to use yet. Well, waiting until an emergency arrives is not the time to get your owner's manual out. So you want to learn to use those electronics at the dock or before you get out too far.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of new functions available today, and you know, they're not that hard to figure out, but you really want to do it before you have to. If you've got a new VHF radio that does not have built-in GPS, you need to get that connected to your GPS, because it's not going to send a DSC signal out that you might need sometimes if they're not connected. You need to learn how to get to your latitude and longitude. In other words, if you're just using the bottom sounder of your machine, it may or may not show the latitude and longitude. And if an emergency pops up, somebody needs to know how to get to that function that shows the latitude and longitude so you can broadcast your position. And remember that is the most important thing, beside the fact that you need help, is where you are. Because if you're going down, sooner or later, those electronics are going to go out on you unless you have a handheld, and you want to make sure somebody knows where you are.
It's an important piece of the puzzle, for sure.
yeah. And, you know, people don't always have their tracking set up on their GPS. You want to set that up, especially if you're in areas that you haven't fished before and you might want to find your way back to your boat and trailer, or to your trailer and truck. Get those tracks set up on there so you can use them and follow them back.
Track
and just
lines.
Generally become familiar with what you've got and where it is and how to use it.
It's an important point. Always good stuff, Jim. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for the time for the Coast Guard Auxiliary in St. Pete. Jim Fogle, be safe out there.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure chatting with Jim and getting that safe boating tip of the week. It's a lot of simple stuff that you take for granted sometimes that always good to get reminded of. Keep your eye on the prize and think ahead. You got to be prepared, especially when you're running offshore. We've got Captain Neil Holland from Ocean Aid 360 on the line and Ghost Trap Rodeo. How you doing this morning, Captain Neil?
Hey, Dylan, I'm doing great this morning. And good morning to Captain Steve as well. Great listening to you guys today.
Good morning.
Hey, what do you got for us, Neil?
Well, you know, I wanted to let your listenership know that our OceanAid 360 Ghost Trap Rodeo project that we do together with CCA, which is just like your favorite inshore fishing tournament, only instead of reds and snook, we go out in search of derelict fishing gear, derelict crab traps and such, and other forms of marine debris for $25,000 in prizes over the course of our one-year event series. It's returning to Tampa Bay for a homecoming event here on January 22nd. And we're going to be doing two locations together with Tampa Bay Watch and Clearwater Marine Aquarium. The locations are going to be Fort DeSoto Boat Ramp and Bel Air Causeway Ramp.
Nice.
And the signups are at oceanaid360.org. So we're looking forward to a great event. And the Real Animals Nation helped us get that event kicked off in 2018, and we couldn't have done it without you guys. So want to let the listeners know.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, man. And those ghost trap rodeos, yeah. You guys pull in a lot of marine debris, whether it's a ghost trap, a pinfish trap, crab trap, or plastic chairs and all the other crazy stuff you guys have found out there. What's the craziest thing you've seen brought in on a ghost trap rodeo?
Gosh, let's see. Down in Key West, we found something that we later learned was part of the artillery or munitions that they do testing with down there out of the fighter jets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some kind of a big metal apparatus with fold-out wings and everything. Nice. So that had us really puzzled when we first saw it, but we were able to turn that back in.
I would have left that one on the bottom.
Yeah, I would have ran away quick.
You know what? It didn't have its kind of belly with it anymore. It just had the fans basically or whatever, but it was brought in by one of the local captain participants. And he said, I always wondered if I'd find something like this out there, and here it is, you know. Anyway, it made for some excitement back at the dock for sure. But, you know, since we began in 2018, our events have collected over 86,000 pounds of what FWC and NOAA consider to be high-priority marine debris, which is either derelict fishing gear or, like, medium and large-scale objects. Out of all kinds of Florida coastal fisheries, from Apalachicola all the way down to Key West. But we got our start here through our first 7 events in Tampa Bay. So we love working here, and this is our community that got us started. So we're really hoping to have a good turnout on January 22nd. Going to be having free lunch and lots of great prizes and all that kind of stuff.
And you can learn all about this at oceanaid360.org, right?
That's exactly right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, and I just want to say I love listening to you guys chat about the offshore scene. You know me, Dylan, as an inshore charter captain here with GoFishTampaBay.com. But during this time of year, one of my favorite things to do is to throw my 23-foot tower boat on the trailer and take it over to Peanut Island and Palm Beach over there and go sailfish and pull plugs and, you know, pull big live baits and everything. Nice. So I'm really looking forward to making that trip this year.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Catching some sailfish from a 23-foot boat. That sounds like fun. Very cool, man. Yeah. Well, we appreciate the call this morning. Thank you so much for sharing that information. What day was that again?
It's going to be Saturday, January 22nd. And for what it's worth, if anybody's interested, we've got one the week before on Sunday, January 16th, up in Jacksonville. So if anybody's going to be up in that area or knows that fishery or just wants to go and try something new, looking for something to do on Sunday, Jan 16, they can register for that event on our OceanAid360.org website as well.
Nice. I appreciate it, man. OceanAid360.org. Find out more. Get registered. Thanks for calling this morning, Captain Neil.
Heck yeah, guys. Hey, Steve, I think you're going to have a great kingfish year coming up as well. All right, I'm going to be watching.
I'm going to do my best, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. We're going to need all the help we can get.
For you, bud.
You take care of yourself.
Have a great day, guys. Tight lines.
Thank you.
See you later. It's going to be hard to keep up with the bar you set this year, though. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, man.
Well, biggest live well wins. I'm never going to forget that one.
Hey, man, that's the gig, right? Yeah, we had an unbelievable this year. We've had great years in the past, but you know, you go on a run here and there, but you know, that King of the Beach, then that one, man, we've been chasing that one for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time, and that was the right one to win.
Yeah, it was. That was awesome, man. I was happy for you guys, and you guys have been fishing King of the Beach for how long? Put him on the spot. There's some smoke coming from his headphones.
Golly, man, I don't even know. It's 25 years.
Wow.
The first King of the Beach, Old Salts didn't have it. The first one I fished, it was at Tierra Verde Yacht and Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the weigh-in by the pool.
Nice.
And that was back in the day. And then it went to Krabby's, and it went to what was that other place over in Pasadena? It was
Lever Rocks?
Yeah, Lever Rocks. Mm-hmm. It went there. You know, and it kind of bounced around until it found its home where it's at now. And, we've been chasing that one forever. That was the only tournament that I have not gotten a first place trophy for in this area.
We've done
the loop, we've done bottom fishing tournaments and all the kingfish tournaments and this and that and the other. But that one right there was the white rhino, you know what I mean? And
the white whale.
Yeah.
And you got him.
Oh man, it was pretty epic.
That's awesome. Well, we've got more coming up on the other side here, guys. Don't forget, you can join the conversation too. Give us a shout, 1-800-969-9352. We'll be back. News Radio WFLA 970, Real Animals Radio Show on the other side. Captain Dylan Hubbard here on the Real Animals Radio Show, talking fishing with our good buddy Steve Pappin of Fantastic Fishing Charters, Tournament Fishing, Wahoo, Red Grouper. We've covered it all, and the returnemright.org. And if you want to join the conversation this morning, you can give us a shout, 1-800-969-9352. We'd love to hear from you, hear a fishing report or a fishing story. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Affordable Roofing Systems. If you need a new roof or roof repair, check out our friends at Affordable Roofing Systems. They understand that your roof is a very large investment and protects most everything you own. Let Affordable Roofing Systems' 3 decades of experience and roofing knowledge guide you through this important process. Whether you need a shingle, metal, tile, or flat roof, Affordable Roofing Systems is your safest choice for repairs or replacements. Affordable Roofing Systems is defined by integrity, respect, and honesty, and has a personalized and professional approach to doing business. Call Affordable Roofing Systems today at 888-397-ROOF for your free estimate, or visit their website at affordableroofingflorida.com. Definitely important in Florida, especially with all our wonderful weather that we get, to have a nice, new, and safe roof. And also, being safe out in the water, Jim Fogle always gives us our safe boating tip, and think about that a lot this time of year when that water's cold, man. Woo, it is no fun getting in the water this time of year. Want to make sure you're prepared and thinking about what could happen, and make sure you're prepared to avert any danger when you're running offshore, especially like you running so deep offshore. I would love to see your ditch bag. I bet you got a little bit of everything in that thing.
Yeah, I've got like 5 different ways to contact land, you know, mm-hmm. EPIRB, sat phone, my tablet for my VMS, DeLorme. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm not, I've told my wife a million times, I was like, if you hear me, we went down, Tell them to keep looking, because I guarantee I'm going to be out there somewhere. We got a life raft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plugs for through hauls, those dowel cone shaped plugs, you know, crash pumps, you name it. Like, we try and keep everything. That's your island.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you better bring everything you got to keep you alive and make sure that everybody's safe. And, you know, those rafts are, they're really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I think my last raft that I bought was like $3,800 or $4,000.
Oh, you've got one of those commercial rafts that explodes.
Six-man raft. It's got water. It's got flares. It's got you name it.
Steve's not sitting in the water, boys.
No,
He's floating in style.
It cost me $1,000 a year to get it re-inspected, everything like that. But you know what? I look at it this way.
It's your life.
Not only mine, but if I've got a dad and a mom and two kids,
mm-hmm.
and they go out there on a fishing trip, and the worst thing in the world happens where the boat goes down, I do not want to sit there in the water and look at those terrorized kids' faces. You know what I mean? No, they're getting the boat. We'll get rescued. We'll be safe. I mean, money is nothing, you know. It's nothing. You have to do it. And there is a tiny percentage of people out here that have rafts.
Yeah.
And of the people that have them, a smaller percentage even know how to use them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can go to Solution One over there and over here in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They sell the rafts. You can buy them at a lot of different places, but you can walk in there and they will do a repack. Right there, you can walk in and just watch them do the repack.
Yeah.
Watch how they inflate it. Watch how it pops open. Watch how everything works.
Watch how it deploys.
Yeah. Educate yourself a little bit. I mean, because, you know, you only got a second, you know.
Plus, if you're spending $3,500 on a raft like that, which is going to save your life one day, you want to know how to use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, it's insurance. We all pay insurance. We pay home insurance, boat insurance, car insurance, everything insurance. And hopefully you never have to use it.
Yeah.
But it's there if you need it. Amen. That's the only insurance I'm okay to pay.
Amen to that as well. Yeah, definitely want to make sure you're prepared and thinking about the worst thing. Those dowel things are important too.
Absolutely.
The cone-shaped dowels. A lot of people don't think about that or have that available. One of those through hauls break off for the biggest live well wins. So he's got some big through hauls.
You see a lot of boats now. I mean, especially nowadays, I see boats coming right off the line, brand new boats, you know, $600,000-$700,000 boats, and they've got plastic and PVC under the waterline. You know,
that's not cool.
I don't like that at all. I mean, you definitely got a worst case scenario. If those things pop, you know, and they break and it's on the other side of the Seacock and you can't shut that water off, you know, worst case scenario, you can jump in the water and run up underneath the boat, smash that thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming out.
Nope.
They make them out of that some kind of wood. It expands, you know.
Yeah.
So when you put it in there, if it's in there for like an hour, I don't think you can get it out.
Yeah.
You know, you probably have to cut it out.
Yeah. That's awesome stuff, man. Good options and good stuff to talk about, make people aware of. We've got more coming up on the other side. We're going to be talking more about what's coming up, what to look forward to on the water. You can join the conversation at 1-800-969-9352, and we'll be right back. Real Animals Radio. You guys are stuck with just me this morning. Captain Dylan Hubbard in studio, but got my good buddy Captain Steve Pappin from Fantastic Fish and Charters in studio this morning, talking fishing. We've got a few more short segments here, guys, so you can join the conversation at 1-800-969-9352. Hopefully everybody's just enjoying our conversation this morning, because I feel like we haven't had many callers.
I think they should call.
Yeah, they can call.
We can
liven up the conversation. Tell us what you want to hear. Just give us a fishing story. We were on a subject earlier that I want to return to of weird things you find in Red Grouper. You said you found a full unopened Miller Lite. I know we've came across chicken bones quite often, and fried chicken bones do work as Red Grouper bait. Have you tried that before?
No, I haven't, but we have. I've gone through the same thing. The guy's eating chicken wings and throwing them over the side. And then at the cutting table, you're like, what is this? And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, Joe was eating chicken wings again, and the red grouper you catch are full of chicken bones. It's crazy. They'll eat just about anything you throw down there. And mixed in with the red grouper, we've got the lane snapper. And the lane snapper are a solid again. We've got a nice big old catch level, so we shouldn't have those issues this year. And well, I think we're seeing bigger lane snapper.
They're huge.
Traveling deeper, too, than previously, at least historically. And it's nice to have not only the big red grouper in the box, but some of those big lanes mixed in with them. And then we're seeing a solid mangrove snapper catch right now. And these overcast conditions make mangrove snapper daytime bites even better. So you've got a lot of different things to go out there and target right now and bring a live well full of bait. You might scare up some tuna or wahoo and a couple mahi. Inshore right now, we've seen a lot of redfish action. And definitely great time for the sheep's head. Still some snook action in the back bay areas, cruising those mangrove shorelines, grass flats, all that good stuff. Triple tail along the beach. Have you been seeing a lot of triple tail running in and out?
Yeah. We've I think the early December, there was like, they were everywhere. Yeah. Every single trap.
Mm-hmm. Every and buoy,
everything.
It seems
like there's a lot more traps out front this year than there has been in previous years, too. But, you know, it's like a slalom running out there on the boat. But, you know, I got to worry about mine. With the inboard, you know, if we get a trap wrapped up, we got to jump in and swim underneath the boat and get it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's tons of them. I like probably at least 50% of the traps, I would say, while we're running, had a triple tail of some sort, you know, whether it's a little one or.
It was hard to find keeper sizes, but they seem to be very thick, but they've thinned out a little bit. But they're still around. I know a lot of people are still catching some big ones. And even in Tampa Bay, I didn't really realize it that much until I started really doing fishing reports heavily for Fox 13 and stuff. And people are sending me reports and photos of how big the triple tail get, even well north of the Courtney Campbell. It's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Way up in the bay. It's like, what in the world are them? What are they doing way up there?
They got tails, man. You never know where they're going to end up.
That's true. They got tails.
They got tails. They just swim wherever.
Yep. They follow the bait. They follow
like
the food
story
sources.
It's like that story years ago where that guy, the mullet fisherman, caught that yellowfin tuna up there by Bel Air. I saw pictures of it. I mean, these guys sitting there at the boat ramp with a 50-pound yellowfin tuna that he caught in a cast net back in a canal. What is that thing doing there?
I remember that story.
Insane.
That photo still circulates on social media.
It was insane. Mike, my deckhand, he knew the guy. He knew the guy that caught it. He's, I don't know, some kind of Carolina skiff back there, you know, sees a swirl. And what are you going to do? You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Unbelievable stories. And that's what fishing is. That's why I love saltwater fishing and myself is just you never know what you're going to catch. Freshwater fishing's a lot of fun, and I don't want to take anything from that. And like we talked about earlier, bass fishing, we've both done it. We both enjoy it. But when you're freshwater fishing, you're going to catch one of a handful of species. When you go offshore fishing or even inshore fishing in saltwater, you just never know what's going to take that bait or be on the other end of the line.
Be prepared for everything.
Be prepared for everything fishing-wise and safety-wise and just enjoy it and make sure you return them right by taking care of the fish with your descending device or venting tool, right?
Absolutely.
We tied it back in.
Yeah, man. It's important. You know, 30 years from now, you want to do your part, you know, and make sure your kids are able to go out there. I mean, we both got little ones, you know, yours a little younger than mine, but, you know, you want them to be able to go catch something.
Yeah.
So absolutely. We got to do our part. We don't want to fail the kids, you know?
Yep. Yep. And that's the best part about being in the charter industry and watching people getting hooked on fishing, especially young anglers, seeing that light bulb turn on when they finally figure it out and get the hang of hooking fish, hooking baits, and just being proficient at it. It's definitely a huge rewarding thing, in my opinion, as part of our industry and kind of part of the benefit of taking kids fishing.
It is great to watch.
Yeah.
It's great.
And even adults, too. You take someone out who hasn't been fishing before, maybe doesn't saltwater fish a lot, give them some tips, tricks, pointers, point them in the right direction, and then all of a sudden you turn around and they're catching them, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see that light bulb go off and everything click into place. So we are coming up here in January. We've got these cold fronts running through, and Red Grouper opened up. That's going to be kind of the focus here offshore the next couple months before that deep water closure goes on, right? Are you doing a lot of hog fishing?
Well, the shorter trips, yeah, we're going to be doing our hog fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we primarily run the majority of the year, with spring break excluded, most of my trips are full days, you know, or more. And even this time of year, like, we got Red Grouper back, so everybody's going to book full days. So we're going to spend a lot of time, you know, well offshore, and it's going to be Red Grouper, Mango Snapper, Yellowtails, Lanes. But the mangoes, I really like targeting the mangoes after the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that water gets a little
murky, dirty,
it just seems like they just fire off. You know, their eyes are the worst thing that we can, that, you know, it's against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've watched, you know, chum the mangoes up in the up top and put a bait in the water,
mm-hmm.
and throw three chunks right next to my bait and watch all four of those chunks go down and just watch these mangoes come over and pick off the other three chunks and just let mine keep going. You know, I'm down to 20-pound fluoro. I don't know what, you know, you got to go even lighter.
Yeah.
You know, but they're sneaky. So when you get a little bit of smoke in the water, it's definitely it definitely helps you out a lot.
Yeah. It gets those leader shy fish a little bit more coaxed into chewing. One of the cool things, fishery science-wise, we were talking about cooperative research studies and stuff like that. We worked with a woman from USF, and she was doing a study on eyeballs of snapper. And I will never forget her dissecting the eyeball of a big mangrove snapper. It had what looked to be a pearl the size of like a quarter inside its eyeball. And that collects any light whatsoever and is able to reuse it. So even in very low light conditions, they have incredible eyesight and can delineate those differences in shades and color. And that's why they are so leader shy and so smart, is they have very good eyesight to spot your leader.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really impressive. And Kubera snapper too. They've got those big, big, big pearls in their eyeballs as well.
Yeah.
So it's incredible, the biology and anatomy and of a fish, how it will dictate its behavior in feeding. It's really cool. Interesting stuff, how you see the science tie into the fishery. And relating to that, I'll never forget, at a young age, my dad and I would do a lot of diving. And I'll never forget diving down on like a little 4-foot ledge and 50 foot of water and going negative buoyancy and putting a chum block in front of the ledge and watching the hierarchy of those fish come out and start feeding. Immediately, the little white grunts and the squirrel fish and the spot tails come out of the ledge and start attacking the chum block. And then you see the mangrove snapper come out. Then you see that red grouper kind of wander out. And then 10 minutes into it, the gag grouper hanging in the back doing big circles. And he waits and waits and waits until that opportune time and comes in and smacks that thing. It was very interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's amazing what you can learning the behavior of the fish or the anatomy of the fish and how it will impact their feeding or their behavior in feeding. Or you could just go out there and trial and error and practice.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting tanks on anymore. You know, I got chased out of the water when I first started diving.
Yeah, and by a big shark.
Yeah, it just freaked me out. I was done. I couldn't get in the boat quick enough, and I haven't put on a tank since. I mean, the most diving I do is I'll go scalloping. That's about it.
I like diving a lot, and I enjoy sharks are cool animals, and I don't mind sharks at all when I'm diving, mm-hmm. as long as I can see them.
Yeah.
If I can see them, I'm okay. But, like, people who dive in Tampa Bay and spearfish in Tampa Bay, and, like, we both know Emily from the Gulf Council pretty mm-hmm. well. Diving the Skyway Bridge and spearfishing the Skyway Bridge.
Nope.
It's a whole different level.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Well, you talk to divers. I've had a lot of conversations with guys that I know that dive, and they get all my respect. I mean, but they'll tell you. They'll mm-hmm. tell you. They'll say, you know, the odds of you getting bit by a shark or attacked by a shark, you got better odds of winning the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I know three guys have been attacked by sharks. You know how many guys I know that won the lottery? None. So that theory is gone.
That's one way to look at it. That is hilarious. Yeah, I definitely don't feel comfortable swimming in water. I can't see the predators that are chasing me.
Yeah.
Like that's why alligators freak me out so much, is those dark lakes and stuff like that. I wouldn't catch me swimming in there because I can't see them coming. I want to have a fighting chance at least.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of fun to get in the water and just go learn and watch those fish behave. And it's not too bad to bring a spear gun with you occasionally, too. And,
yeah.
Swim down and shoot them. But I don't know. Hook and line fishing's got my heart for sure. Spear fishing is a lot like shopping in my mind, especially mm-hmm. when you're experienced and you know what you're doing.
Some of those guys are crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, good grace.
Like, if you ever go to the St. Pete Open and watch the weigh-in,
it's insane.
It's stupid.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That one guy, Dan McMahon, mm-hmm. he's like the guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's like the president of the spearfishing planet. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that story that he had, a 403-pound Warsaw in 425 foot.
He dove
absolutely
to 420.
Unicorned that thing on some wreck in that depth of water. It was, I mean.
That's incredible.
It's insane. Like,
how does a human survive going to that depth?
He had, the guy dives commercially.
That's crazy.
And he's really, really good at it. He's been doing it his whole life. He's still, to this day, he's commercial spearfishing. They do mixes. I'm not real familiar with it.
Yeah.
They mix up the different gases and mm-hmm. stuff. And it's very technical. And you cannot make a mistake, but it can be done. And he did it. It was insane.
That's crazy, man. Definitely cool stories. Well, we've got a short segment on the other side where we're going to be wrapping things up and giving you guys some reminders about events coming up and giving you a breakdown of what to look forward to. So stay tuned. Real Animals Radio Show will be right back on News Radio 970. We'll be back. We're back. Captain Dylan Hubbard here on News Radio 970 WFLA, Bartow Ford, Real Animals Radio Show. Want to make sure to remind you guys, we've got February 15th. We're back to in-person fishing conversations at Bartow Ford. Captain Mike Anderson will have the Watts brothers, Brian and Greg Watts, talking fresh and saltwater fishing. The legends themselves from 7 to 9 p.m. at 2800 Highway 98 North in Bartow. Bartow Ford, and they're going to have Silver Ring Cafe there, giving out the best Cubans in Tampa Bay, and Bull Bay Rods. You can win a fresh and saltwater Bull Bay Rod at that event, plus much, much more as well. So make sure you don't miss it, February 15th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Bartow Ford. And then also February 19th, we've got the Florida Guides Association annual meeting at Gator Jim's Tackle, 3301 Pinellas Point Drive. If you're a guide or you know a guide or you know someone who makes money on the water for a living, make sure they're at that meeting February 19th, 6:30 p.m. at Gator Jim's Tackle. And then our good friend Neil Holland told us about January 22nd, the OceanAid 360 Ghost Trap Rodeo at either the Bel Air Ramp or Fort DeSoto Ramp, oceanaid360.org. You can get more information about that. He said $25,000 for the first prize in that tournament. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a cool idea, too, because there's those ghost traps. I mean, they'll just go forever.
Yeah, you know, so. Killing a lot of fish.
Absolutely. I think it's
and crabs.
A fantastic idea.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff and an awesome way to definitely help out the environment and our fishery and keep it clean out there in the Gulf. We've got a last-minute caller. We've got John from Clearwater. How you doing this morning, John? You got a minute or two to join us. What you got for us?
Well, morning. First, if anybody has trouble remembering your number, it's 800-WOW-WFLA.
Oh, there you go. Never heard it put that way. I like it.
Yeah. In order to get the kids out there to fish, they need to get their study done. And there's a free course online that lets them understand how to study, and also when you're doing your instruction books for your equipment. It's called Study Technology. And The free course is on the website called volunteerministers.org, volunteerministers.org. There's a bunch of free courses on there. And basically, if you're reading something or listening and you go past a word you don't understand, it makes you feel blank. And people think, you know, what happens after that? They think they don't understand the concept of what they're studying or, you know, the materials. But what it actually is that word. So you have to find the word right at the end of where you were doing well. You find a word you didn't understand, and you look it up in a good dictionary that you can understand. And you
That's
make up
definitely some good options and a good, great way to read and learn more. Thank you so much, John, for calling in this morning and shedding some light on how to better study and become a better fisherman or learn how to use your electronics a little better, too. Definitely important to learn what you don't know and pick up on it quickly, right? Especially someone like you picking your brain this whole morning. You didn't know it, but got a Wahoo education.
Yeah, I lied about most stuff, so.
Spoken like a true fisherman. Well, we've got a lot going on out there, guys. Time your trips around the weather. We're on that first quarter moon coming up to a full moon. We got those fronts rolling. So important to watch the weather as it can change quickly. We got a big front coming through Monday night. Fishing ahead of that front or behind it once that water calms down and clears up is the best time. So time your trips around those systems and get out there and capitalize on those weather windows. And inshore, even when the weather's nasty, you can find a seawall, a bridge, or a wind-protected shoreline and target those sheep's head. The snook get excited when the weather's bad. It's always a good time to get out there on the water, as long as you're not too busy. Because don't forget, if you're too busy to go fishing, you're just too busy. Right, Steve?
Absolutely.
Well, if you wanted to take a trip with Captain Steve Pappin, how would you go about doing that?
You can give me a call. I got...
What's your phone number?
I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
It's 727-642-3411. My website is fantastic, fishingcharters.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Even TikTok. Figure that one out.
I want to see a TikTok video.
I did that one for my daughter, man. She wouldn't stay off of it. So now we have like 10,000 followers.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
Well, check him out, Captain Steve Pappin, Fantastic Fishing Charters. Don't forget, tomorrow you can check out the Real Animals Sunday show from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 620 WDAE. We'll be back again next weekend talking fishing right here on News Radio 970 WFLA every Saturday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. You can join us live on the Real Animals or Hubbard's Marina Facebook page or on the radio at 970 WFLA. Appreciate you listening in this morning and joining us. And so appreciate you having us in on your radio and dealing with us and listening to all the good conversations. We'll see you next week, guys. Don't forget, if you're too busy to go fishing, you're just too darn busy.